We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
What is the proper name of a hot dog?
Absolute delight.
Okay. It is an absolute delight.
But I'll give them an A-plus for being able to eat ice cream with chopsticks. That's a real talent right there.
I stayed 5 hours at a Japanese restaurant one time trying to eat soup.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
What's up?
And J.J. Jasper. I didn't hear J.J. Is his microphone working? All right, and we're talking to our producer here, Adam Suddeth.
Great to be here.
All right, there we go.
Adam is filling in, so we're giving him a whole lot of grace.
That's right, Adam.
And he's off to a great start.
Yeah. No, you're doing great.
All right.
That's like whenever we heard the guys watching the smoke signals, and they heard these drums off in the distance back in the old cowboy and Indian things, and the guys told the others, he said, "I don't like the sound of those drums." And he said, "What?" He said, "Listen." He said, "I do not like the sound of those drums." And so they started reading the smoke signals, and they said, "Not our regular drummer."
I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah. So this is not our regular control operator, but he's going to do great.
Adam Sutter filling in for Brent Creeley. It's Trivia Friday. We're going to ask and answer trivia questions today. We're going to give you the phone number to call in and answer and ask. You need to be 11 years old or older to participate with us. That's one of our ground rules. I'm going to give you the phone number right now. This is for folks who haven't been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks. True?
That is true.
So if you have not been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks, you are eligible to call in and be on the show today. Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
What's the phone number, Ed?
It is 888-589-8840. We threw a bunch of eights in there for you. 888-589-8840 is the number to call to be on this here show.
888-589-8840. If you answer a particular question right, you will hear this sound.
Ah, the beloved cowbell.
The beloved cowbell shall ring, and all the world will know you won yourself an AFR ball cap, which we usually have in the studio but don't have today.
It's all right,
but,
Adam.
But anyway,
we love you, man.
Right. Yeah.
It's an AFR ball cap / trucker's cap / farmer's hat.
Yes.
So,
or you can just wear it around the house.
Yeah, we don't care where you wear it.
That's right.
So one of these original 9 questions is the mystery question.
Yeah.
You don't know which one it is, but if you land on it and answer it correctly, that's what you'll hear, cowbell, and you'll win yourself a nice trucker hat.
Amen. All right. Anything else to say here?
You know what? I think we've covered it in record time.
Yes.
We're off to a blazing start.
Go ahead and give your question.
All right. Here are my 3 questions. Question number 1, the Ohio River forms what border for the state of Ohio? North, south, east, or west? The Ohio River forms what border for the state of Ohio? North, south, east, or west? Question number 2, on a 1960s cartoon, the theme song has the words, "Here I come to save the day." What was the cartoon? "Here I come to save the day." I would do it in the voice of the cartoon character, but that would be giving too much away. What was the name of the cartoon? And then 3rd question, we're almost out of time for these folks. We've got Election Day coming up. Who were the presidential candidates in the 2012 race for the White House? Talking about Republican and Democrat only. Who were the presidential candidates in the 2012 race for the White House?
Here's what I've got. First question, there are many important women mentioned in the Bible, but they are unnamed. We know of Sarah, Ruth, Hannah. I want you to name two stories of important unnamed women in the Bible. Looking for two Bible stories. Briefly, tell me two Bible stories of unnamed women in the Bible. Second question, Monopoly game pieces, the tokens. Originally, there were 10. Name three original Monopoly game pieces.
I like that.
Third question, what does the Energizer Bunny wear on his feet? You picture him beating that drum, going across the screen. We've all seen that hundreds of times. What is he wearing on his feet?
Okay. That's a great question.
All right. Now, the World Series, the Baseball World Series, is underway or about to get underway. And it's the Los Angeles Dodgers against the New York Yankees. And the Los Angeles Dodgers moved to L.A. from Brooklyn, New York. I want to know how the Dodgers came to be known with that nickname.
As Dodgers?
Mm-hmm. What was the reason?
I don't think I even have a clue. That's a great question.
Yeah. So the Dodgers, the Los Angeles Dodgers, how did they get their nickname? Of course, they moved from Brooklyn. They were Brooklyn Dodgers to the Los Angeles area.
Here's the deal. You kids in middle school, you don't think dodgeball has consequences? It's got ramifications throughout a history. Besides getting hit upside the head by the right. 6-foot kids right. in the fifth grade.
The PE teacher didn't care.
No, sure didn't.
Didn't care at all.
I think that's a way to repay kids for, you know, having a bad attitude.
In fact, I remember one PE teacher slipping $5 to the class bully to hit me in the face.
Right, right.
$5, that's all I was worth.
The NFL concussions have nothing on
dodgeball.
That's right.
Please. Dodgeball, my
all
word.
All right, so how many total time zones are there in the world? How many total time zones are there?
Now, are you talking about during daylight savings or?
Well,
I guess it doesn't
I don't
want to
get too complicated.
No, I know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. How many total time zones are there in the world?
Under normal circumstances.
Under normal circumstances. Some of you don't have some kind of eclipse or some kind of sun moon glow that goes over Canada that people go out and look in their yards at.
And you lose an entire time zone.
Yeah, exactly.
You take this pinhole and these 3D glasses and you can see an extra time zone.
From your front porch.
Yes.
All right, and finally, what country grows 40% of the world's coffee supply? There's one country.
Wow.
There's one country that produces 40%, grows 40% of the world's coffee supply. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get started, Ed.
All right, we're going to go first to Texas, and Iris is on the line. Iris, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hallelujah.
You are number one, Iris.
Yes, you are.
And you know what? Yeah, I love their ministry. It brings such joy to my heart.
Amen.
So you're going to ask. I know the routine because I love it. I will answer and ask. Okay?
Oh, okay,
Iris.
Great.
Bless you. Where do you live in Texas?
I live in Rockwall, 25 miles outside of Dallas, and we love you, and you have so many friends and supporters in this area.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That's a blessing.
That's a nice area there, right on that lake. What is that lake called?
Lake Ray Hubbard.
Yes.
And it's exploding, but the wonderful part is they have godly values for the most part.
Yes. Well, it's a great city, and we've stayed there many times on that.
Rockwall. Now, ain't that where they got all them people they got from them UFOs, and they got them in the warehouses there with a big electric fence around it?
No, I think you're thinking of New Mexico
somewhere, but we
have an actual rock and a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see a little statue on the square.
All right, Iris, do you want to ask it? You said do both. Okay, which one do you want to answer?
Well, I'll answer the two women of the Bible.
Yes,
that
ma'am.
Are not named.
Yeah, here's the question again. There are many important women mentioned in the Bible, but they are unnamed. We know of Sarah, Ruth, Hannah. And Iris, I need you to name two stories briefly of important unnamed women in the Bible.
Well, I will answer this one because I'm a widow, the widow of Nain and the widow of Zarephath.
Nicely all done. Right. And I was thinking the widow's mite, the woman at the well, Job's wife. You just have so many people in the Bible that aren't named. We know a lot of the ones, you know, that are named. But thank you. Great job. Way to start us off, Iris. What's your question for us?
Okay. I'm also a Jewish believer, a Messianic Jew.
Amen.
And today is a glorious holiday, holy day. And sometimes we have to celebrate in the midst of difficult circumstances. So what is the holy day or the holiday, if you want to call it, that Jewish people around the world celebrate today?
Oh,
today? Wow, yeah.
I don't know without
guys,
looking it up.
Yeah, I'd have to look at a calendar or something. Do you know, JJ?
No, I don't. We should know that. If John Riley was here,
he would know.
He would know.
He's from that part of the world, has family there.
Yeah.
I think you're going to learn us something, Iris.
What's the answer?
Well, it's Simchat Torah, and it's the giving of the law. And this is one interpretation, but some people believe it's nothing against Christmas. I love it, and I celebrate from November to January. But some believe that Jesus was really born during Feast of Tabernacles and, you know, on the eighth day went to the temple. So the giving of the law is so amazing if you choose to interpret the word that way or interpretations of it that way.
Wow, interesting. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you when you first gave. What holiday is it, Jewish holiday?
It's called Simchat Torah. And one of my wonderful Bible teachers that I go to showed a beautiful picture. You can Google it and see of them in the Bible days where they go through dancing and celebrating the Torah. And it's such a rejoicing celebration. And it's right after Feast of Tabernacle ends. So it's a continual celebration.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing that, Iris. And again, thank you for your kind words about how well-received AFA and AFR is in your community. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Thank you. Oh, what sweet words from one of our listeners. That just really encourages us. Thank you, Iris. Well, we go next to North Carolina, and Herman is on the line. Herman, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Herman, we've joined the entire world praying for you guys, especially Western North Carolina. How are you holding up?
Well, I'm in Laurinburg, which is lower, probably west, east in North Carolina, lower right there at South Carolina. We're not near that area, but our church and Baptist Disaster Relief Teams have sent many of truckloads up that way. And I personally am going November the 4th with Disaster Relief to participate and help in recovery.
Wonderful.
Wow, thank you for
that. We heard from Samaritan's Purse on AFR News, Franklin Graham talking about that. 8 Days of Hope, Steve Tiber, they're there as well. So we continue to pray for North Carolina. Herman, you want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
I like to do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
The Here I Come to Save the Day.
All right, here's the question for those just tuning in. On a 1960s cartoon, the theme song has the words, "Here I come to save the day." What was the cartoon, Herman?
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse.
Mm-hmm. Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse.
How long did that cartoon hang?
Anybody who grew up in the 60s and 70s would know it's Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, that's right. It was on. I looked. It started in the 60s and went into the 70s.
So go ahead and do it.
No, I can't. My throat, when I try to do that, here I come to save it, you know, I just can't get to the...
You just did it.
But now you do that when you come home on Fridays to your wife, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
When you cross the threshold.
Here I come to eat the pizza. I can't quite get it right anymore. My voice just doesn't have the range it used to. But hey, when I get home on Fridays, I give it a shot.
You have to have range to do that.
That's it.
You're kind of like an opera singer in a way.
Herman, what's your question for us?
All right. This is an agricultural question, and it's kind of a broad. If you can hit the mark, you got a real broad way to get it. How many feathers does the average adult chicken have?
How many feathers does an apple?
Okay, now that sounds like this sounds like I'm just telling you some big tall tale, but we went to one of those pumpkin patch things yesterday afternoon as a family, and there was a big old thing there where the chickens were, and it had all these facts about chickens, and I could not believe it. It said they actually go back as far and kind of are a cousin of the dinosaur. It told how many languages they can hear, how many different clucks mean different things. And it just went on and on and on about their personalities and talents and just on and on. A lot of
chickens
stuff.
Have personalities?
Yes. And it said that if you need to back into the pen when you're first establishing the thing with them. And I just, I read the whole billboard because I was so intrigued. I thought, I didn't know anything other than you get eggs, fresh eggs. Yeah. And then that was about it, you know.
I'm just going to be honest. That last one about backing into the pen makes me feel like we're being played. don't make eye contact.
I say, being played by some chickens. I don't know how many feathers. It might have been on the billboard, but I know that they can eat a lot of stuff. It says, you know they eat corn and they eat mosquitoes and all that, but it says they'll even eat field mice.
Yeah, and I've told the story before. We used to have chickens, and my wife had one that was her favorite, and she would call Arlene. She named it. She would call Arlene when we would drive up, like on a Saturday if we went to Hardee's for a biscuit. Arlene had come running, and my wife would feed her the rest of her chicken biscuit. And I used to tell her, I said, that is just so wrong.
That's dark.
Because it's your feet. But the chicken didn't care. It was eating chicken, and I'm sure it tasted like chicken.
Yeah, they got a word for that. It's cannibal. Hey, so what's the answer, Herman? We're not going to know. How many feathers are on a chicken?
Well, now, I got this off the internet, so we're going to have to go with that. It says the average adult chicken has anywhere from 6 to 10,000 feathers.
Wow.
That's a lot of feathers.
6,000, 10,000?
Yeah, I think that's a bit much, but, it's on the internet, so it's got to be true.
Yeah. No, you got to have that many. You have to have that many feathers when you – tar and feather the politicians, and you send them out on a rail out of town. You need a lot of chickens to get that job done.
That's a lot of duct tape using to pull those feathers off. How do you get all those feathers off? I've never plucked a chicken. That's a lot to pluck.
I helped kill 100 recently, and even with the plucker that you have, you still have to manually pull feathers off.
Right.
Wow.
All right, buddy. Thank you for giving us that information right before lunch.
Thank you. God bless you, Herman. All right, let's go to Texas, and Jedediah is on the line. Jedediah is 13 years old. Jedediah, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hello.
Hello, Jedediah. Welcome to the program. Where do you live in Texas?
I live about 30 minutes outside of Waco.
Yeah, welcome back. I recognize you being on the show before. Jedediah, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Both, please.
Which one you want to answer?
The coffee question.
Okay, Jedediah, here is the question. What country grows 40% of the world's coffee supply?
That would be Brazil.
Brazil.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
40%.
Yeah. How did you know that?
I looked it up.
That's all right. Research.
Okay. Well, 40% of the world's coffee supply comes from Brazil. Of course, most people know you got to have a certain climate.
Right.
It has to be sort of tropical, I guess you could say, and Brazil fits that to a T. So I think I read where Vietnam grows a second largest amount.
And well, I guess that would make sense. It's probably the same type of climate.
By far, it's much less than Brazil, I'm saying, is by far and away the top coffee producer in the world.
That's interesting. Hey, we really do learn a lot here.
Yep, we do.
Learning University. What's your question for us, Jedediah?
Well, it's kind of a little bit of a medical question. You know when somebody, when they're in like a serious medical scenario and their heart is beating erratically, they use a device to shock the person to stop their heart so it will kind of recoup and start beating regularly. It's called an AED. My question is, what does AED stand for?
Here's the deal. Let me back up before they give you the real answer. In the part of Kentucky where I growed up, we use jumper cables. You got a Chevy with a 350 engine. You pull up close enough to the person what has had a spell and make sure and rip their shirt off and get them jumper cables on the battery. You want to make sure the positive is on the positive and the negative is on the negative. You can get a fella to revive. Now, he's going to have some burn marks, but it's worth it just to have him around for another Thanksgiving or Christmas.
So, okay. I think I'm just going to leave that. I was going to ask some additional questions.
I know. I had them too.
Yeah.
Hey, we got one of those machines hanging on the wall here on our campus. All we have to do is run down the hall and see. It's got the whole big name printed on there.
Yeah, I've never stopped long enough to look and see if it has the initials spelled out for us. I don't. You guys know?
Hey, learn us something, Jedediah. This is going to be good to know. What's the answer?
It's called an automated external defibrillator.
Ah, automated external defibrillator. Easy for me to say.
Defibrillator.
Defibrillator.
So we had some folks over last night. Had a couple of firemen and had a nurse. And the nurse and the fireman, they were talking about when your heart starts going crazy out of control, they inject something that stops their heart, and literally stops their heart. And then they say, hey, this is going to feel like you've been kicked in the chest by a mule. And then your heart starts back in just a couple of seconds, a long couple of seconds, and then it starts back in the right rhythm. And I said, shouldn't an anesthesiologist be doing that? They just let us just inject that, you know, because you don't have time to schedule an appointment and all that.
So the person's awake while they're doing this?
Awake. And they say, you're about to experience, and then it flatlines. You see the machine they're hooked up to, it flatlines. You kill them and then bring them back to life.
Wow.
And they said what the drug is. It's a very popular drug. Nurses listening, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Listen, I got to tell you, if I was the person that was having that done to them, I would not want to hear that nurse go, huh. After hearing me flatline, go,
I've never seen this happen before. Yeah,
as I fade to black.
Or anybody's ever been in the hospital, they say, now, just so you know, Emily here is a student nurse, and she's going to be the one that's going. No, she is not. I want the one who's got the most experience.
Right.
Been here the longest. But that's something I just learned last night.
Yeah,
in that conversation. Wow. And I kept saying, now, you got to be kidding me. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
And everybody apparently around the table knew about it but me.
All right. Hey, Jedediah, thank you. You learned us some good trivia, and we are appreciative of that. Thank you for listening, my brother, and you have a good weekend. Don't forget to go to church this weekend. And
If you haven't been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks, we have a two-month waiting period between calls, appearances on the air. You're eligible to call, though, if you haven't been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks. The phone number is 888-589-8840. Again, 888-589-8840. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We shall return.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Let me ask you a question. Did you ever want to quit? Did you ever want to hang them up and call it a game? If you haven't, then you aren't normal. Every normal person has periods when he's ready to throw in the towel. Several years ago, I charted a course for my life. I chose what I believed to be the highest and truest way of living. I gave myself to it, and I have pursued it. But there have been times when I have wanted to quit, to call it a game and hang up the togs. Quitting is tempting because it's easier. You know, when you get knocked down time and again, it's hard to get up and go another time. When it seems as though you're behind and can never catch up, it's awful hard to keep trying. Life is tremendously demanding if a person pledges himself to the best he knows. It becomes so difficult sometimes that the temptation to give up is very strong. The benefits of giving up seem appealing and attractive. I can understand why some people have given up. They grew tired of following their highest dream, and then they started demanding less and less of themselves. Finally, the dream was no more. A person needs a solid foundation if he attempts to follow the highest and best he knows, because when the storms of doubt and despair blast against our structure, it will crumble like dust if there isn't something solid underneath. As I write this, I'm tempted to give up, to quit on the direction I chose some years back. All the advantages of giving up are looming out before me like water to a person dying of thirst. How strong the desire to quit. But I will not quit. I can't. Because I know that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished by quitting. I will never accomplish all I would like to, but I will accomplish nothing if I give up. And back there when I made my decision, I wasn't promised peaches and cream. The one I follow was crucified. Why do I think following him should be easy? No, I made my vow to be faithful, and that's all he desires of me, not to be successful, not to be popular. One thing he desires of me, to be faithful. And you know, I can do that. I can be faithful. I can hang in there and give the best I have. I will be a better person by doing that, and stronger. And by doing so, I can help another who is struggling to stay above water. Quit? Sure, I want to quit. How easy life would be if I just call it a game and run away. But I will not do that, no matter how great the temptation. He is depending on me to be faithful. And that's the one thing I can and will do. I will not disappoint him. I will be faithful. So, give me a drink of the living water. I'm ready to get back into the game of life.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew 19:14.
American Family Radio.
Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
All right.
See, that was some range there.
Yeah, that was. That was. That was in the, was that 50s, 60s or 60s?
I know, I think it was 60s and into the 70s,
yeah.
I think.
Mighty Mouse.
All I know is that mouse's theme parks didn't boat as well as that other mouse.
Right, right.
People from Japan and all around the world don't come to see Mighty Mouse and his the rides he has on his thing.
Six mice over Texas.
Trivia Friday, it is on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
We're going to repeat our questions that have
heretofore
gone unanswered.
All right, here are my three. I'll have to add one. The Ohio River forms what border for the state of Ohio? North, south, east, or west? Second question, who were the presidential candidates in the 2012 race for the White House? I'm talking just the Republican and Democratic candidates, party candidates. And then third one, this is going to be a little hard. I did not know the answer to this. When you go to buy a salami, a full salami from a deli, let's say, what is that entire salami called? There's a word. You go in and you say, I want to buy a blank of salami. What's the word for that entire sausage-shaped salami called? That's all I've got.
Here's what I've got. First question, Monopoly. You baby boomers played that back in the day. Originally, there were 10 game pieces or tokens. I just need you to name three. Name three Monopoly pieces. You can close your eyes, see yourself sitting around with your middle school friends or your family playing that with a different tokens. So three Monopoly game pieces. Second question, what does the Energizer Bunny wear on his feet? You see him beating that drum, wearing those sunglasses. What does he have on his feet? Third question, this is going to be kind of difficult, but you got a multiple choice. You have a 33 and a third chance of being a good guesser. During the 1700s, what was the main industry on Nantucket Island? A, cranberries, B, the production of gunpowder, or C, whaling? 1700s, what was the main industry on Nantucket Island? Cranberries, gunpowder, or whaling?
Where along life's journey would you learn that?
That's right. Well, you wouldn't learn it in
school.
Where
would you pull that from?
No, that's what I said. It was going to be, well, we said we're going to learn people's
if
stuff.
If you travel to Nantucket,
if you're
maybe
just a good guesser.
Yeah, good guesser.
Hey, you got, you even, have you been there probably?
I've been to Nantucket, and let me just say this. I'm going to go ahead and answer the question, okay? Nantucket was known for whaling, and Cape Cod was known for gnashing of teeth.
Look at you.
Whaling and gnashing of teeth.
Wow.
How about that?
Did
you guys see what I did there?
I like what you did.
So actually, I have no idea what the answer is. But
all right, so here are my – I've got two questions. I'll add a third one if this one gets answered. How many total time zones are there in the world? How many total time zones are there in the world?
If it's not a leap year.
Yes, if it's not a leap year. That's right, JJ. Good point. And my second question is, the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team, how did they get their name, the Dodgers? Of course, they moved from Brooklyn. They were the Brooklyn Dodgers for a long time, and then, I don't know, 50s or 60s, I think the 60s, early 60s, they moved to Los Angeles. But they kept their name, the Dodgers. I want to know how their name.
I have no idea what the answer
originated.
To that is.
It's pretty interesting. Anyway, back to the phones, Ed.
All right, we're going to go to Mississippi, and Jonathan is on the line. Jonathan, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for asking. Where do you live in Mississippi, Jonathan?
A town called Ethel. It's right outside of Kosciuszko.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling from Ethel. Jonathan, you want to ask, answer, or both here on Trivia Friday?
I'll do both.
Okay. Which one do you want to try to answer?
I'll try to answer your question about the time zones.
Okay. The question is, how many total time zones are there in the world?
I believe it's 24, isn't it?
24. That's
nicely
right. 24.
Done.
You know, you can't overthink that, right? I mean,
24 hours in a day.
24 hours in a day, you would think, well, that's naturally 24 time zones, right?
Yeah.
But you, then you go, that sounds too easy.
Yes. You know,
too easy an answer to get. But you're right, Jonathan, 24 time zones. How many time zones are there in the continental United States, Jonathan?
Let's see. I believe it's four.
Let's see. We got Eastern. I had this question a couple of days ago.
Central.
Central, Mountain, and West Coast.
Pacific.
They call it Pacific,
yeah.
Not West Coast, but some people call it West Coast. Yeah, four.
Good, Jonathan.
Four
good.
In the continental United States.
Way to go, Jonathan.
Right. Way to go, brother. All right, you want to fire away with your question for us.
All right. In the mid-1800s, there was an Austrian monk who is also known as the father of genetics. What is his name?
All right. Hang on a second, Jonathan. I think it's Gregor Mendel.
I got their CD where they're doing other chanting and humming and everything. If you had a stressful day working in the mines or just out there on the assembly line, you come in, you listen to some monks humming and chanting. It's very relaxing.
Let's see.
I think it was Gregor Mendel.
Oh, you'll know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he played ball, too, a little bit later. I recognize
for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yes.
Before they moved to Los Angeles.
All right, we'll go. I'll go with Ed. Tim seems undecided.
Yeah.
You're like a lot of voters.
It remains a mystery to me. I don't know, Jonathan, what's the answer?
The answer is Gregor Mendel. You were right.
All right. Wow, Ed. Ed.
You are something.
Ed knows his medieval history.
Yes. Yeah.
Right there. What year was that? When was that? That was probably 1900s. When was that?
It was the mid-1800s. I can't remember the exact year, but he was born in 1822. And the reason he became a monk is because his parents couldn't afford to send him off to school for an education.
That is interesting.
Well, and a lot of people don't know he finished number three on England Has Talent.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Yeah. It was a thing back then.
Jonathan. Ed didn't think attending that all boys Catholic school would help out, but it
sure did.
It did this time.
All right.
In
all seriousness, what did he do?
Genetics in terms of figuring out. You ever seen the charts in science where you cross breed?
Yes.
This plant with this plant, and
cross pollinate.
You get different traits, and recessive traits and dominant traits, all that came from Gregor Mendel.
How'd you remember that?
I you can tell I'm struggling to remember some of the details, but I'm a big England Has Talent fan. And his Gregor Mendel and his dancing pea plants, it was quite a group.
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, thank you. Thank you for listening to AFR.
He answered the time zone question, didn't he?
So yes,
he did. I'm down to 24. One, so I better add one here.
Yeah, you better scramble.
Here's my other question. There are 3 days on the calendar that are the top food consumption days in the U.S. One is Christmas and Thanksgiving. I guess they could go 1-2 or 2-1, And then there's a third day that represents the third day where Americans consume the most food. I want to know what day that is.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones, Ed.
All right, we're going to stay in Mississippi, and Shirley is on
Shirley,
the line.
Shirley, not.
Shirley is. She is on the line. Shirley, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good evening, or it's still morning, isn't it? Good morning.
Good morning, Shirley. Thanks
and,
for
and you just can't get enough of that joke, can you? Surely not.
No. Yeah.
Surely not.
Well, where do you live in Mississippi, Shirley?
I live in Columbus.
Columbus.
Okay.
All right. What do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Well, I wanted to answer the one about Mighty Mouse, but somebody beat me to it.
They did.
My husband and I were just talking about that cartoon last night, and I said, I'm going to try to answer that one, but I'll ask you one if that's okay.
Sure.
Shirley.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Shirley, wait. I got to stop you before you answer it. What possessed you and your husband to be sitting around the table talking about Mighty Mouse? You got my curiosity peeking all over the place.
Well, we were sitting there watching TV, and something come up about a cartoon. I don't know. I something said, and I said, we said Mighty Mouse.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what come up. We was watching TV.
Well, I know. I know Tim and Allison have a lot of bizarre conversations.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. They have a lot of random things that they think about, but I just wanted to jump in there and be nosy and ask you. All right, go ahead.
This is where the expression, and one thing led to another.
Hey, I was privileged to speak this week in Tennessee at the Fishbowl Pastors Retreat.
Yeah.
42 pastors and then their wives. And I had so many that came up and said how much they appreciate our time together and how much fun we have. And over, they said, you guys, this, I stop what I'm doing, schedule to listen because you just make me laugh so much. So that just reminded me of that. I want to give a little shout out. I forget how many states. They were from all over, like maybe 16 or 19 states.
Great.
Shirley, go ahead. Back to you.
Okay. I want to ask you a question. What do you call a fat Cajun that can never tell the truth?
Oh, my. A fat Cajun
that can never tell the truth.
A fat Cajun
that just lies. He can never tell the truth. Yeah.
Wow. Are we going to step in it right here?
I'm not. Shirley's about to, but
okay, yeah, you hear raging Cajun, as you mentioned, yeah. Tim, but I'm trying to think a lying, skinny Cajun.
Yeah.
There's some profiling.
We don't know, Shirley.
No, what's the answer?
Jambalaya.
Jambalaya. Jambalaya.
I like
okay.
it.
I got you.
The jambalaya.
All right. Oh, thanks, man. Dear. Have a great weekend.
You could probably.
She was fun.
You know what? That's the fun. The more I think about that, the funnier it gets.
Jambalaya. Jambalaya. Okay. Got you.
I was thinking skinny, but they're saying overweight Cajun that's not honest.
Yeah. All right. I guess we're going to stay in Mississippi. We got a bunch of folks from Mississippi lining up, but. So we go to Nancy. Nancy, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi there. Okay.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate you calling from where in Mississippi?
Past Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, on the awesome. On the coast.
On the Gulf Coast, for those who don't know.
Correct.
Well, Correct. Hey, Nancy, tell us something famous about Past Christian.
Oh, dear. I lived here only about 10 years, but...
Okay.
It's a beautiful spot to come to.
Well, how many Dollar Generals do you have? that would be a...
How many Dollar Generals?
Yeah.
Oh, probably three.
Okay.
That's a start.
Yeah, it's a good start.
And they got live oaks, and it's just so pretty down there. Yeah. All right, Nancy, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Somebody answered my question about the 24th time zone. However, I'll be glad to do the one on Monopoly and hope my boomer days will remember it.
All right, here you go. You got a picture sitting there at the kitchen table with that Monopoly thing, and they've passed out all the money. Monopoly, the game pieces or tokens, originally there were 10. Out of the 10 original ones, just name three, Nancy.
All right, there was a hat, a car.
Right.
A dog.
Okay, that'll do it. Now, the dog wasn't in the original ones. They added to that. So you but awesome. I'll give you a chance to try again. The race car, the top hat, name one more.
Oh, gosh.
Now, there's a lot of people screaming at the radio trying to help you.
I know there are. I know they are.
Look,
I went looking for my Monopoly game.
No, that's okay. Well, listen, since I don't have a lot of questions today, I'm going to leave that one more open for somebody else to answer.
Okay, super.
But top hat and race car, you're exactly right. The Scotty dog was added later.
Really?
So here's what I found out. There were 10 original ones, and it's the ones that we remember. And then they knocked off a couple, added a couple, and all total over the years there have been 18.
Really?
Yeah, 18 different pieces. But the ones that we all remember as kids, you know, those were – the Scotty dog was newer.
Okay.
All right, hey, great job. Nancy, what's your question for us?
I don't have one at the moment, but go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Past Christiane, Mississippi. And we better repeat our questions, guys. It's been a while.
All right. Here are my three. The Ohio River forms what border for the state of Ohio, north, south, east, or west? Second question, who were the presidential candidates in the 2012 race for the White House? Talking about just the Republican and Democratic Party candidates. And then, what is an entire sausage-shaped salami called? There's a word for it. You go into a deli and you say, I want to buy a blank of salami. It is the name for that whole salami. What is it?
Here's what I've got. Monopoly game pieces. All I need is one for you to mention one of the original ones, because Top Hat and Race Cars has been answered. So what's one more original Monopoly token? Second question, what does the Energizer Bunny wear on his feet? Third question, during the 1700s, what was the main industry on Nantucket Island? You remember when you were in class and they mentioned, well, they actually never mentioned it, ever. But 1700s, main industry on Nantucket Island, was it A, cranberries, B, gunpowder, C, whaling?
I'm looking forward to the answer. I don't know the answer to that.
I've got two questions here. How did the Los Angeles Dodgers get their nickname, the Dodgers? And I'll just give you a hint. It has to do with their days in Brooklyn. They were the Brooklyn Dodgers became the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so how did they get their nickname? Number two, in the U.S., there are 3 days that are the top most food-consuming days for Americans. Thanksgiving and Christmas, so I guess would maybe alternate one and two.
Okay.
Right, but there's a third day. What's the third day that is where Americans consume the most food?
All right.
That's good.
Good question.
All right, back to the phones.
All right, we'll go to North Carolina, and Audrey is on the line. Audrey, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi.
Hey, Audrey. It says you're 13 years old. So welcome. It's brave of you to come on the air with us. Welcome to the program. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Can I do both?
You sure can.
Good guesses.
Which one would you like to try to answer?
The border of
For Ohio?
Ohio.
All right. So here's the question, Audrey. The Ohio River forms what border for the state of Ohio? Is it north, south, east, or west?
East.
No.
Good try, though.
Good try. You made it a little easier for someone else.
And that's what life's all about, really, isn't it?
What's that?
Making life easier for somebody else.
Someone else.
Your failure.
Audrey is not a failure. She came on the show, 13 years old.
I didn't call her a failure.
Okay. I think you're brave, Audrey. That was a good shot you took.
Yes, Audrey. I think that you may be thinking about the Allegheny or something, a river over there, the Pittsburgh area comes down on the east side of Ohio, I'm talking about. Yeah. So.
Well, good try, Aubrey.
That's a good try.
What's your question for us?
It's kind of a two-part question.
We're ready.
What language does the word idiot come from?
Why am I taking that personally? I don't know.
I think it comes from a German.
Audrey, don't say anything. We're going to talk amongst ourselves. I think it's either Latin or Italian. Idiota. I think is
okay.
I'm going with
you go with Germany.
Ed. No, I'm gonna go with the Latin or
just the
Italian.
Way you said that sounded so confident.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Italian
instead of.
It may actually be Latin, but I know the Italians used it because I was called that a lot growing up.
What is it in
idiota?
Oh, that's good.
All right, Audrey, did Ed get it right?
No.
Okay, what's the answer?
It's Greek.
Greek.
It's Greek.
Well, that's why you heard it.
That's why I heard it, because my mom was Greek.
And all of her people were Greek, so you had uncles on her side calling
yes,
you.
Yes, I did hear it a lot.
All right, what's the two-part question? What's the second part?
What was the word used for?
I think that's obvious.
Okay, so
I'd say professors, professors of virtual universities.
Audrey, don't say anything because I want to. We want to talk to each other right here for just a moment. So your question is, what was it used for? The word idiot.
It must have evolved for her to say that.
Okay, so it used to be a word used not in a disparaging way, not in a slang way, but as a word used to describe people who were mentally ill.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The idiot.
That's right.
When you had to have somebody hospitalized or institutionalized for mental illness, they would go to the asylum where the idiots are. It wasn't a slang word.
Used
to describe mental homes, mental institutions. That's right.
Okay, I'm going to add, I have no idea. I'm going to add a different guess.
Yeah.
I mean, that is true, what you said. I'm going to guess that it was meant for something that was a small amount of something, and then that was used for people who had a small amount of intelligence.
All right, I'm going to throw mine in.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it was like if you have a dummy part on something, machinery or whatever, and you know, this thing is just to hold these other. It's just kind of like a dummy bolt or an idiot lever, idiot bolt.
All right.
Something that didn't have a whole lot of use, but it just sort of was there to, you know, fill in a spot.
We have three guesses, Audrey, and we get to do that because we have three professors here. So did any of us get it?
No.
So we're all
that,
three.
We
we're
wasted all that brain
we
power.
We are all three. Fill in the blank. All right, what's the answer?
The answer, they actually used the word, it was what they called people who didn't vote in elections.
Really?
In Greece?
Wow. In Greece? That's telling.
Yes.
That'll preach.
Yeah. Mm. So this must go back to the ancient, like the Greek democratic city-states.
You're given this opportunity. You have an opportunity to make your voice heard. This is your civic duty. This is a responsibility, and you're going to stay home.
You idiot.
Say it like you mean it, Tim. You're going to stay home.
I'm going to tell you that may be one of my favorite trivia questions of the last month.
Awesome.
That was excellent.
Thank you, Audrey. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
And man, I just realized
she was from North Carolina. You probably mentioned it. We're praying for you guys, especially there in Western North Carolina.
You're right. That'll preach, man. Yeah. Wow.
I know people, I've got family members that aren't registered to vote and don't because they go, they're all crooks, they're all whatever. And you are allowing somebody, you know, they're not perfect and we're not voting for a pastor.
Right.
But all of these things, the trickle-down things, everything will affect you. Look what's happened in the last 3.5 years. Groceries, fuel, construction costs, higher taxes.
Yeah.
The interest rates almost doubled. Young people can't afford to get a home. So you say, I didn't realize there were going to be all those ramifications.
Right.
Yes. And you had an opportunity, civic responsibility. People in third world countries can't even fathom it's we the people.
Yes. And we get a chance to vote.
We get a chance to do that.
All right. Do we have time for another question before the break?
I think so.
All right, we go back to Mississippi, and Buddy is on the line. Buddy, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you, sir. You still there?
We are. We're still here. Buddy, you want to ask?
I'll answer first. I've done others have gotten at least two or three that I knew. I'm going to just guess now.
All right, which one you want to answer?
Ohio. Question.
Okay, the Ohio River forms what border for the state of Ohio, Buddy?
I would say West Virginia.
Well, it does border West Virginia.
Yes, but on what side of the state, I guess, of Ohio is what I'm asking.
Yeah, if you look at the state of Ohio, where does the river run, the Ohio River run? Southeast, north, or west?
South.
It's south.
Be south.
It yeah, is. That yeah. is absolutely right. correct.
Yeah. It forms the border between... I know Kentucky.
Kentucky.
But
Kentucky is in there also.
West Virginia too.
I went up through West Virginia into a part of Ohio and eventually ended up in Pennsylvania.
Buddy, it's almost
to Connecticut.
It's almost heaven.
You're on something there, Jay.
You know, I'm 85 now.
Wow, you sound great for 85.
Yeah. Hey, can you hold on, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Hold on for just a couple of minutes here. We're going to take a break for news, and we'll return.
Then you can ask your question.
That's right. Then you can ask your question of us. Buddy from Mississippi will ask his trivia question of us after this short time out. And then we got callers from Texas and Iowa and Georgia. So we'll take those phone calls next half hour, and we will repeat our trivia questions that have
heretofore
gone unanswered.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.